Turn to 2 Corinthians. Here's a wonderful verse of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. The Father of mercies. Now, no matter what the dilemma, what the trauma, what the problem, you can't earn your way out. Doesn't matter how long you've meditated, how many confessions you've made, you'll not earn an answer. And sometimes we do get captured in our own obedience to the Word, and it certainly is obedience to the Word to meditate, certainly is obedience to the Word to confess. But we get captured sometimes in our obedience and forget it's not time spent that brings the answer. It's time spent that brings faith and reliance upon God who brings the answer. And everything we receive from heaven comes as a product of His mercy. Now this says, the Father of mercies. Do you see that's plural? It means there's a multitude of mercies. There are different kinds of mercies. There's healing mercy and financial mercy. All kinds of mercies. Now, Satan's called the father of lies. That means he told the first lie, and lying was his idea, his concept. A father gives birth to or originates. Now, Satan's the father of lies, but God is the father of mercies. That means that mercy originates in God and was his idea. Now, what's mercy? Do you have any idea what mercy is? There's a difference in mercy and sympathy. In the scripture, mercy and compassion are the same thing. When the blind men met Jesus, they said, Master, have mercy on us. And it says Jesus had compassion on them. Same thing. Also in the story of the Good Samaritan, which is found in Luke chapter 10, we might get there eventually. They use the words mercy and compassion interchangeably, and so we will do that, though some writers make a difference. I don't make any difference. I don't see any difference in the scripture. Mercy is compassionate. To have mercy is to be compassionate. But now sympathy is different. Sympathy doesn't require us to respond, to do deeds of compassion. And compassion is always done. It's always active. It always requires from the heart a God-felt response that will bring some degree of relief to the dilemma. Now that's what you see in Luke chapter 10 in the Good Samaritan. The priest passed by the man that was wounded, and the Levite passed by the man that was wounded, but the Samaritan, called by us the Good Samaritan, had compassion or mercy, and compassion always prompts us to action. Now, in that passage of scripture, the question was, who's my neighbor? They were talking about loving God and loving the neighbor. Loving God, loving the neighbor. The answer was wrapped in compassion. That's because compassion is an aspect of love. Just like apples are part of apple pie. You can have butter and sugar and flour and mix all that up and bake it, but if you don't have the apples, it's not apple pie. Well, if you don't have compassion, then you don't have every aspect of the love of God, because the love of God is full of compassion. In other words, full of action on your behalf. Now, sympathy says, I'm so sorry. Hope everything works out for you. But it doesn't necessarily respond by deeds or by action. Now look at 1 John chapter 3. And the definition I like is given in Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. He says compassion is love in action. Certainly a very scriptural definition. In chapter 3, verse 16, there isn't any greater help in time of stress than an understanding of the love and compassion of our Father. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Now you notice the love of God's own discussion. Because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him. It shuts up. In other words, I can refuse to respond to compassion. You know that's let somebody else do it. Shuts up his bowels of compassion. How dwells the love of God in him? See, if the love of God is in me, then I am compassionate. I have the ability, the capability to respond to a dilemma. Now, I'm going to respond by the Holy Ghost. You don't know how to respond unless the Holy Ghost prompts you. Sometimes there's nothing you can do. But prayer is certainly the highest response of compassion, the highest order of compassion. And intercession is compassion. Now, intercession is to stand in the place of another. And that's what compassion does. Anything I can do to stand in your place, to bring you relief, to bring you release, to move you towards peace and towards an answer, I want to do. Now, sympathy often is just words. I looked it up in Webster's. I've taught this lesson off and on for years, and I've always said sympathy and compassion are different, and I thought this morning I should look it up. I was absolutely fascinated by Webster's definition. He makes a decided difference, and he always links action with compassion. Now, compassion is a part of love, so it's of the heart. It's not an emotional response. You cannot judge compassion by tears. Amen. Tears might simply be sympathy. And compassion always gives service. So sympathy is simply a response. Many times you cry and I cry. Yes. You shout and I shout. You know, you stomp and storm and I'll stomp and say, that was bad. I can't believe they did that to you. And we're simply responding in kind. Many people are more sympathetic than others. Their physical makeup lends itself to response. But keep in mind that sympathetic response is not the answer. It's heartfelt compassion, compassion that comes from heaven, that's a product of the love of God, that's deep felt, that brings action or deed that brings relief or release. Now you see that. Look at Luke chapter 10. Now when I know who's the father of compassion or the father of mercies, Almighty God. Mercy is God's idea. In other words, relief is God's idea. Release is God's idea. Shoo. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. Let me just show you a couple verses so you can get our definition. Love in action. Love in service. Heartfelt empathy, heartfelt love. The question is love. He wanted to know how to have eternal life. That's verse 25. Jesus told him to obey the law, and he said, the law says love God and love your neighbor. So they're discussing love. And then Jesus gives, beginning with verse 30, the story of the Good Samaritan. In verse 33, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, the man that was wounded, he had compassion on him. Now they're going to go ahead and bring relief, bring release. He's going to bind his wounds. He's going to take him to an inn. He's going to even commit finances in order to bring relief. Now this is heartfelt compassion. It's not simply a sympathetic, a response in kind. It's a heartfelt compassion, an action that's dictated by heaven. Now he said, Jesus said, which one is the neighbor? He said, verse 37, he that showed mercy. You see, they were talking about compassion. They've changed the word to mercy because in the Greek language, compassion is to have mercy, and mercy is to be compassionate. So they are divinely interchangeable. But the original topic was love, just like in 1 John 3, talking about shutting up our bowels of compassion, refusing to meet a need. So then how is love in you? Because if love is in me, compassion. So compassion's love in action. It's what love does as a response to the heart of God. Now, in intercession, what happens is you pick up on the heartfelt feelings, if I can use that word, of Almighty God. You begin to sense what He senses about the situation in question. And you're praying from your spirit, from your heart, because you and God are in such union that you sense, that you know how He feels. And many times, because of the depth of that commitment, it's in words, it says, not expressible in speech, it's in groanings. You see, every dilemma, the answer to any dilemma, whether it's my dilemma or your dilemma, is mercy, is the compassion of God. Every time there's compassion, heartfelt, godly compassion, there's healing. Every time. I'm not talking about sympathy where I'm sorry that you were hurt. I'm sorry that you're in pain. I'm sorry you had to have surgical treatment or procedure. I'm talking about from the depth of my being, the love of God that shed abroad in my heart, that came into my heart the day I got born again, emerges from my heart in such depth of feeling, and feeling's not really a good word, that it prompts me to do something, to say something, to be something on your behalf. Now that's what happened, how God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. The depth of the love of God. It says his great love wherewith he loved us, Ephesians chapter 2. Great love. Now compassion is what? It's love in action. It's a part of love. It's not all that love is, but it is part of what love is. Now the scripture says compassion's from everlasting to everlasting. That's good news. It is always. It was always. It is always. Compassion. In other words, God's always willing to bail you out. Always willing to rescue you. Always willing to respond to your need. And that's all those two blind men did in Matthew chapter 20. They said, Master, have mercy. Have mercy. They called upon the mercy of God, and it was the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the fact that they knew God was the Father of mercies, a God of great compassion, one who would take action and bring relief and release on their behalf that brought them that relief. It said, and he had mercy. They called upon mercy. Now we can get that same action, that same reaction from God. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Malachi. I am the Lord thy God. He's still the God. He was the Father of mercies. Look at Deuteronomy 7:9. See, many times we don't see the mercy of the old covenant, but the mercy of the old covenant was bound in their obedience. The mercy of the new covenant is a product of grace. But God promised them mercy. And one scripture said he promised to Abraham mercy for all his children for generations. Verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he's the faithful God which keeps covenant and mercy. Which what? Covenant. Keeps covenant and mercy. Keeps covenant and mercy. With them that love him, keep his commandments to a what? Thousand generations. He was in the Old Testament a God of great mercy. Now look at 78th Psalm, let me show you. You know, if he hadn't been a God of great mercy, Israel had been in big trouble. Verse 38. This is talking about Israel. It says, and he, God, being what? Full of compassion. See, compassion's from everlasting and everlasting, and it's always full. It's always referred to as plenteous or full. In other words, you're not going to catch God on a day when he's shorting out. And his compassion, you listen to this, is higher than his anger, than his judgment. We've magnified the judgment of God at the expense of his compassion, and it says he's slow to anger, and his judgment is but for a moment. But his mercy endures forever. Mercy is unalterable. It's always in great fullness, in great abundance. And God's judgment, there is a judgment side of God. He is a consuming fire, but for a moment. Don't ever think God's going to get you. One fella asked me about his daughter. Quite concerned. She backslid years ago. He thought, because of his theological training, that God was probably going to judge her. He asked me, didn't I think God was going to judge her soon? I said, no, sir. And he looked at me like, what'd you say? I think she might get in trouble with the devil because she's walked far astray. But I know God. See, mercy is, he's always full of mercy. He, being full of mercy, forgave. I know the God, the Father of mercies. Mercy originated in God. Everything originates with, starts with, is grounded and founded in Father. No father, no child. I don't care what they tell you. That I know is true. No father, no child. And God is what? The Father of mercies. The Father of compassion. The Father of action that brings relief and release. Not simply words of sympathy. See, much religion has made God a sympathetic God. He is sorry, but he isn't going to help you. You just hang in there, and when you get to heaven, there'll be relief. Then he's not a merciful Father. And the God that reached out to Israel and forgave and healed over and over again, he healed them from diseases and dilemmas that they had caused by their own folly. The Old Testament says a fool, because of his iniquity, is afflicted. Now, you can't get any plainer than that. And sometimes when I pray, I have to say, now, God, this is my fault, okay? I know that. You might as well be up front. I said, this is my fault. I know it's my fault. However, I still need. He's the Father of mercies. And he was full of mercy, full of compassion. And in compassion, he forgave, because he said to Israel, I am the God who's faithful to his covenant and faithful to his mercy. Now look at Micah. Can you find Micah? Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. I still know that from Vacation Bible School. I love this verse. There is in the Old Testament mercy. Verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity? You know, we're not inclined to pardon iniquity. I want you to get what's coming to you. I want you to admit your error. I want you to grovel. I want you to crawl across the auditorium on your hands and knees and beg for my forgiveness. I want all the world to know that I didn't do this, that this was your fault. That's our general response to life. But it's not a Christian response. It's a carnal response. It's an immature response. And it's a sinful response. It says, who's a God like this God that pardons iniquity? He's a God full of mercy who forgives, a God full of mercy who heals, a God whose mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, the God who's full of mercy. The book of Lamentations says his mercy is new every morning. Can you imagine? Now, we plant flowers in our yard. You know, and you work with diligence, and they're just not new every morning. If you notice that? We planted impatience over here. They loved it. They bloomed. They grew. They're still beautiful. Then we planted them just 3 feet over this way. They hated it. And every morning you'd get up and you'd think, and you'd go out with a water hose and you'd talk to them. You'd say, see how happy they are over there? And these over here, until this, they didn't get quite enough water this week because one of us didn't run the hose, but we did remedy that with the hose. I did that myself. Got out there with my water hose. These just seem to be new every morning. Always lovely. Always in bloom. Always full of flowers. Now over here we planted begonias. They loved it when it didn't rain. They thought, shoo, this is great. This is great. Then it started, we got a little rain, and they began to faint and fade and complain. The next thing I know, all the begonias on the left side of the sidewalk over here, as you come out my front door, are about dead. And these over here, there's two or three over here struggling to survive. They're not new every morning. They're up and down, in and out, depend upon the water. Some like water, some don't like, just like people. Some like water, some don't like water. Some like the sun. Don't plant me in the sun. Impatience, hate the sun. They get a little sun. They say, I'm out of here. I'm fainting. But God said, see, his mercy, his compassion is what? New every morning. Now, if it was from everlasting to everlasting, but it was fluctuating, it wouldn't be any big deal. You might get up on a desperate moment, come for the mercy of God, and he just is not in the mood. Or he didn't have enough mercy. Or exhausted it yesterday on me so that you don't get any today. So I'm sorry, Becky just wore me out yesterday. You got to give me a break. No, every single morning, mercy's in bloom. Oh, that means every time I have a dilemma, every time I have a trauma, every time I get a bad report, every time my body says, do you feel that? That's what your body says. Did you feel that? Do you sense that? I can come before, boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. I don't go there for judgment. If I don't repent, I'll have judgment. I'm going for mercy and grace to help in time of need. I'm going for mercy. I'm going for action. Mercy and compassion is just like that good Samaritan. Somebody help me. Mercy always says, help me. I love the prayer of the psalmist. I've used it myself. He said, help, O Lord. I mean, you can't get any more profound than that. Help, oh Lord. Now we've got a God who's full. Now, have you ever eaten till you were full? If you hadn't, you're the only one. Has anybody just not eaten till they're full? We have a relative that we used to try to feed. And I'd call when I cook and I'd say, I'm sending Joel over with whatever we're eating. And they'd say, oh no, don't send him because I ate yesterday. I never did quite understand that. I said, well, just put it in the refrigerator just in case. I thought, we ate yesterday. I noticed they were really skinny because they didn't eat enough. I read in a book, I loved it. It says there are two things that cause us to go astray. One is our teaching, and the other is our lack of teaching. Because it's the truth that set you free. And if we have wrong concepts, if we feel like God's a God of judgment, he's on your case and he's going to get you and you better toe the line. Now, I'm not testing the mercy of God. You understand, I'm not testing the mercy of God. I'm a candidate for mercy trying to fulfill the word of God. I'm not setting up a deliberate trap. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, that God's going to rescue me. I'm going to do this anyway. I know God will bail me out. The devil may kill you before the water comes. I'm not setting up a trap. I'm not testing God. But I am mercy dependent. I am dependent upon his action in my behalf. And that's what Calvary was. It was God's action on my behalf. Now in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, look at the final verse. Did we read this? Let's read it. Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity? What passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever. You know the way theology has presented God. He's mad. He's always mad. Because he what? He delights in mercy. He's the father of mercy. Mercy's his idea. He delights in mercy. You delight in eating. You delight in chocolate. You delight in lemon. I like lemon in my water and lemon in my pie and lemon in my cookies and lemon. I love lemon. I'm more fond of lemon than chocolate. Chocolate I can take or leave, but lemon. That's what that word delights me. God delights in mercy. And it says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro. You know what his eyes are going to and fro for? He's looking for an opportunity to pour down his mercy. When your eyes go to and fro, you're looking for something. We are a strange family. I know that. And somebody just couldn't believe. Joel's sitting here. I came in the back door of church. My son, he's sitting right there. I just passed him by. I didn't say hello or anything. Well, I wouldn't normally say hello. I mean, what do you want me to do? And they thought it was awful. They just thought it was awful. He didn't expect me to speak to him. He didn't. You do what you want to. Run your life your way. It's not illegal or immoral to pass him by. And they said, you didn't speak to him. I said, I didn't see him. Where was he? And Joel said, oh, don't you worry about my mama. Said, when service is over, she'll stand to her seat, turn around and go, I'm looking to see if my children are there. He said, she'll look for me later. And that's what says God's looking. What's he looking for? He delights in mercy. He wants to take action. He's looking for a little faith, somebody who would trust him, somebody holding steadfast, somebody who has the word of God in their heart and in their mouth that God can hook into and rescue and redeem and relieve. He's the father of mercy, but mercy is by faith. Now you might get some mercy bumbling through life. That's what we call those gifts. But I don't want to be gift dependent. I want my faith to reach out and say, Father, I know you're the Father of mercy. Now, everywhere Jesus went when he healed the sick, he healed because of mercy. He was not trying to prove he was the Son of God. That's a theological misnomer. Let's look at a couple of those. Look at Mark chapter 1. It's because God's the Father of mercy, because he delights in mercy, that he healed the sick. Now, sympathy would say, I'm so sorry. It might even weep because sympathy has the ability to respond as I respond in kind. It's reciprocal action. You cry, I cry. But it's not heartfelt. It doesn't prompt me to remember you in the morning. It's like watching one of those commercials. They used to have a commercial that really got to me. I thought, turn that off. It was just a sad commercial. Now the one I like is the fellow whose job transferred him to Japan. His wife is Japanese. You've seen that one?
Yes.
I go, oh. But it's not compassion. It's just the ability to respond. That's sad. It's sad. I think it's sad. You mean, is it sad to you?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought too. It's just kind of sad. It's just sympathy responding in kind. But compassion from the depth of my being, see. Jesus saw sick people, and he wasn't sympathetic. He was compassionate, says, I will come and heal you. Compassion says, there is something I can do. Well, there's always something I can do. I can pray. Now look at Mark chapter 1. Jesus comes to the leper. There isn't any scripture that says Jesus healed to prove he was the Son of God. Verse 41. Jesus what? Moved with compassion. Put forth his hand, touched him, said, I will. Be thou clean. He was moved. He healed because of compassion. Now look at Matthew chapter 14. When we see in the scripture the action of Jesus, we see the reaction of Almighty God. Chapter 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, and was what? And what did he do when he was moved with compassion? He healed the sick. Compassion is love in action. One writer says it's to love tenderly. Now, I don't know what you think about that word tenderly, but when you love a child tenderly and you see them in distress, you're looking for remedy. You're willing to do anything. I mean, one fella told me about getting up in the middle of the night going to the 24-hour drugstore. He said, I knew in my heart that when I got home that my wife would be back in bed and my son would be over his trauma and they'd all be asleep. He said, I just kind of sensed that. But he was in agony and my wife didn't have anything to give him and she was in agony because he was in agony. You know, the Old Testament says of Jesus, in their affliction he was afflicted. And he went to the drugstore, got the two or three things she suggested, came home, opened the door. They're all asleep. But compassion says, what can I do? How can I help you? How can we meet this need? How can I move you closer to victory? And who's the father of compassion? The father of mercies. And which is greater, his compassion, his mercy, or his anger? Now in 14:14, Jesus saw a great multitude and what was moved with compassion. Look at chapter 20. This is the two blind men, verse 30, sitting by the wayside when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out saying, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. It's verse 30 of chapter 20. Matthew. The multitude rebuked them. They cried the more saying, have mercy. Jesus stood still and said, what will ye that I should do unto you? They said, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus what?
Had compassion.
Once again, the intertwining of the words mercy and compassion. He had compassion. He was trying to prove something? No. His heart commanded that he do something to bring remedy. And compassion is a heartfelt desire of heaven. Now, if God doesn't change, and he said, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Didn't he say that? Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do we still have the heart of compassion on the sick?
Yes.
See, if you listen to theology, there's no compassion for the sick. Unless God's in a good mood or something. And to say the age of miracles is past and healing's not for today is to say that God was compassionate. He's no longer compassionate. He has changed. But he said he hasn't changed. That means the same healing Jesus now sitting at the right hand of the Father will still heal in compassion. Look at Mark chapter 5. This is the story of the Gadarene demoniac. I like to read this because he has compassion on mental distress and disorders. Oppression and demonic obsession. And when he was totally healed, he wanted to go with Jesus. Verse 19, here's Jesus' response. Jesus suffered him, not beset him. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion. Compassion on the sick, compassion on the mentally distressed, the demonic. Compassion. Now look at Hebrews. Has God changed? Is he still the Father of mercy? Is healing compassion still available?
Yes.
How do you get it? Ask and you shall receive. You can't qualify. Twice recently, somebody wanted something from God, and they came to me letting me know that they probably weren't qualified, but I love those. One lady said, now, I know God doesn't do this for certain types of people. Well, I thought, he doesn't? I wanted to say, what type of people does he not work for? That's what I want to know. So I can just tell y'all, you know, you're not his type. Y'all can go on home. Just stick with those that are God's type. No use wasting our time here. She said, I know God doesn't do this for all types of people. I thought, no, he's the Father of mercy. God so loved the
world.
That in his mercy, he was full of compassion and he forgave. Jesus was moved with compassion and he healed. I want to show you Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Let's start with 4:15. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now they use a double negative there. That's very poor grammar. What that says is we do have a high priest which can be touched. That word touched is the word compassion. So God's not sitting up there and he's no longer touched, no longer compassionate. He's still compassionate. From the very throne of heaven, he's still touched by the dilemma. Says he's forever interceding. Intercession is a heart of compassion. Intercession is so united with Almighty God that I feel and sense what he feels, that I take on. Can you imagine what little bit of intercession we have sensed? Years ago, a lady was very ill. I went to visit her a couple of times. Somebody asked me to go. She didn't ask me to go, and I called and said, so-and-so would like me to come, and she consented, and so I went two or three times. Well, the week that she died, I had a unique intercessory experience. It's only happened to me a couple of times. See, unusual things happen, but rarely. Don't base your prayer life on the unusual, because then you get off into flaky things. But as I was praying, I heard her voice. See, you're linked up with the heart of God. And linked up with the heart of God, you begin to sense what God senses. And he uses prayer in order to bring relief. Prayer brings relief. It brings release. When we pray for the sick, we bring relief to the sick. We sense how God feels about disease. Well, God is still touched. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
I had that happen one other time when someone died. I only had it happen twice in 20 years. See, there are unique experiences, but we do not base our prayer life on unique experiences. That's where people go astray. Now look at chapter 2, verse 17. Is he the Father of mercy?
Yes.
Did he say to the Old Testament people he would keep covenant and keep his mercy? Did he say he forgave Israel because of his mercy? Did Jesus walk on earth and exemplify the mercy of heaven, the great Father of mercy, said he had compassion and he healed? Well, and he forgave sins too. Wherefore, verse 17, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. What kind of a high priest is he sitting at the right hand of the Father?
Merciful.
What kind?
Merciful.
He's a merciful high priest. See, he hasn't changed. The Jesus who walked the earth and had mercy on the sick is now using you and I to have mercy on the sick. And he said, you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You pray and ask and you will receive. Prayer of faith will save the sick. You anoint with oil. The mercy of God, the compassion of God, of course it can come by the gifts, you understand, but usually distributed through God's people who come in obedience to His word, who stand in the gap for another and take action on God's behalf. Well, if you don't stick close, you won't sense what He senses, you see. God doesn't usually tackle us when we're going through life 100 miles an hour. It says, be still and be still and. And it's usually when I'm still that I begin to know, I begin to sense, I begin to see. Now, I don't have to do anything. You know, somehow we feel obligated to be a part of the answer. But compassion comes from heaven, comes from the love of God. It's shed abroad in your heart. And we respond. It says, don't shut up the bowels of compassion. So we respond to the compassion that the Father sends. And there's no use my breaking my neck if He's sending you. And people don't understand that. They say, but Becky didn't come. I said, one day, I said, well, so-and-so came, and so-and-so came, and so-and-so came, and pastor went. I mean, God didn't send me. There are plenty of us to meet needs, to respond to the compassion of God. And that's why when God calls upon us to pray, see, I begin to sense somebody in dilemma, somebody in trouble. That's God's compassion. Alert me, so-and-so's in trouble, so-and-so has a need. So that I can respond, be a part of God's compassion, be linked and united with the heart of God and bring you the answer that you need. I can get it to you, you have to receive it when it comes. But I know, see, because I know prayer and I know God and I know He moved on your behalf in me or in someone else, and I know I prayed and I know God answers prayer, I know I brought the answer to you. Now, I've seen people turn down the answer. But I sent it. I can't make receivers out of them. I'm the sender, prompted by Almighty God. Here's your answer. And that's why I pray in the Spirit, because I'm not smart enough 9 times out of 10 to know the answer. And if I knew the answer, I don't know how to get it to you. And if I knew how to get it to you, I don't know what your thinking is, what your heart is. I mean, if you broke your leg or you're very ill, I know you need healing. I know the answer. But I have to respond to the compassion of heaven in order to get the answer to you in a palatable form, in a way that you can receive it, that you can digest it, that you can respond to it. And if I keep sending it, I know eventually you'll respond to it. Prayer pressures the will.
Yes.
Prayer pressures the will. I mean, if I keep passing a piece of pie under you, how many passes would it take?
One.
You've had that where you say, oh, no, thank you. No, I don't want any. And they come back, and they come back, and they come back. I said, okay, just a little piece. Or bring 2 forks, we'll share. That doesn't work out too good. See, if I keep sending you the answer, you keep sensing, because I'm praying the love of God, the compassion of God, the mercy of God, the healing of God, the financial deliverance of God, God who wants all our children taught the Lord, God who said your seed would be mighty upon the earth, and I keep sending you the answer and sending you the answer and sending you the answer and sending you the answer, it's going to be very difficult for you to go to hell. It just really is. Why? Because His mercy endureth forever for the Lord. We'll look at the 145th Psalm. Let's look at a couple Psalms before we finish. Oh, we have a merciful high priest. We have a Father who has great mercy, who has never changed, who still heals the sick because He loves people. He hates pain. He hates sickness. He hates sin. And He brings relief and release. There's some marvelous Psalms. I had a sense that somebody with a dilemma would quit working at it so hard and would call upon the mercy of God, you'd be quickly delivered. I just put that out there because I have kind of a sense. Verse 9, 145th Psalm, are you there? The Lord is good to how many?
All.
What kind of, you know, God doesn't do this for all kinds of people. That's what she told me. It says he does. And his tender mercies are over all his works. How many people can receive the mercy of God? Look at verse 8. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion. Just like at Thanksgiving when you've had all the turkey and all the dressing and all the green beans and all the sweet potatoes with the, you know, the funny, I don't eat those, the funny marshmallow stuff they put on top. You can have my share. And oh, when I was in the mountains, somebody said you have to eat at the whatever it was called, and so it was several miles, 40 miles away or so, and they said, oh, you got to go. Well, we went, and it looked like a routine menu. It looked like a very country fried bologna sandwiches on the menu. That's on the menu. I haven't done that in a long time. We used to do that because we were poor and broke. Peanut butter and jelly, I thought, next. I was beginning to wonder why they sent me. You know, I was looking down the menu, I thought, is this the place they sent? I could have fried bologna at the top of the mountain, you know. And then so we ordered, we ate, it was good, it was good. And the lady said, would you like to see the dessert menu? Well, I'm not a dessert person, but when she brought the menu, I have never seen such a menu in my life. She said, you know, desserts are the specialty of the house. I said, see, now I know why they sent me. They didn't know I wouldn't eat dessert. And I came down the list, apple pie, cherry pie, peach pie, apple cobbler, cherry cobbler, peach cobbler, strawberry pie, chocolate cake, chocolate silk pie, chocolate silk cheesecake. I mean, it went on and on. Chocolate peanut butter pie, lemon cream, lemon cheesecake. And I got down to one that said fruit of the forest. I thought, I never heard of that. Fruit of the forest. So I called the waitress. She said, are you interested in dessert? And I said, I'm interested in fruit of the forest. Point right there. I said, what is that? See, that's a problem with people. Two problems here, teaching or lack of teaching. I know what that was. We have so magnified God's judgment that we've lost touch with his mercy. We forgot he loves me. He loves me. He wants me to be delivered and set free. He shed his blood so I could be delivered, so I could be healed. It's his heart's desire. He delights in mercy. His eyes are looking for a place to put a major deposit of mercy that brings complete freedom and deliverance, that causes you to rise up. So you know what fruit of the forest is? You're interested, aren't you? It's a mixed pie. It had strawberries in it and rhubarb and apples and raspberries. Oh, I'm telling you. So we ordered one piece with two forks. So I ate as fast as I could. Because I could see, this is good. This is the Lord is good. The Lord is
good.
The Lord is
good.
The Lord is
good.
And I'm going to tell you, after a while, you're full. Just full. We went to one restaurant, sat and ate down, sat, looked at the menu and went, Wayne says, you want anything? I went, so do you want anything? He goes, I don't know why we went. It's noon. You're supposed to eat at 12, right? That's why we went. So I said, well, what's the soup of the day? She's standing there with her pan. I think, I'm still full. We had pancakes that morning. I seldom lean towards pecan pancakes, but can't do that too often. You know, if I did everything I want to do, I'd weigh 1,000 pounds. If you think I'm fat now, you should see me if I ate something. That's the truth. That's the truth. And we ordered because it was lunchtime. But we were full. Too full to eat. I mean, that's the biggest bowl of soup I ever ate in my life. It's just standard size. But I was full. Well, says the Lord is good to all. Full. Full of compassion. What? He's He's what?
Full.
He's what?
Full.
Well, let's look at the 111th Psalm. We read a couple more. I like full. Oh, I like full. Full, 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 full. Let's see, 111. And if his compassions are new every morning, it won't matter how much you use. Guess what will happen when you get up in the morning? He'll still be full. Is that good news or what? He's made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and what?
Full of compassion.
Full. He's full. Look at the 86th Psalm. It's a great psalm. Psalms 86. 5, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art what?
Good.
Ready to forgive. He's what?
Ready.
You see that word ready? He's what?
Ready.
What's he waiting on? You to confess. He's ready. He's ready. He's ready. He's ready. See, he's ready to heal. He's ready to say, he's ready. Calvary made it already. Our God is ready. He's full and he's ready. He's full and he's ready. The table is set. The dinner's, he's full and he's ready. Do you get that? He's full and he's ready. What's he waiting on? Somebody to make a request. Somebody to reach out by faith. Somebody to say, Father, you said by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I believe that.
Amen.
And then there will be the most magnificent display of healing compassion. He's ready to forgive and what? Plenteous in mercy. You like to be full or plenty? Does it make any difference to your heart? Plenteous in mercy. Unto who? All that what? All that what?
Call.
That do what?
Call.
Plenty for those that... So what's the jam here? Let's call.
Amen.
Wouldn't that work for you? Mm-hmm. Verse 13. Great is thy mercy toward me. Say, Lord, you know, you go boldly before that throne of grace to obtain mercy. And you say, Lord, here I am, and great is your mercy toward me. Oh, if that doesn't light your fire, you got trouble. He said, the psalmist said, Lord, I know great's your mercy towards me. I know great's your mercy towards me. We go and say, Lord, after what I did, after what I said, we'll repent. He's what? Ready. He's ready. He's ready. He's full. He's ready. Has plenty. Great is thy mercy to me. Who's it for?
Me.
Who's it for?
Me.
Who's it for?
Me.
It's for you. It's for me. And I am so glad. Now, verse 15. Thou, Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious. You know what gracious means? It's somebody that's ready, has real inclination to do something for you. Somebody that's gracious. Or we would say maybe hospitable, is always ready to receive you, always ready to give you water, offer you a drink. Can I do anything for you? You need anything while you're here? You know, they're very gracious. They're in a ready mode to do something, to be something, to have something, to remedy. They're in a remedy ready mode. Gracious people. You can tell the ungracious ones, they didn't wash your feet when you came in. That's what Jesus said. He said, you didn't wash my feet. They weren't gracious. They weren't ready. Okay, he's gracious, full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy. How many mercy?
Plenty.
Look at the 119th Psalm. Plenty, plenty, plenty. We say, oh, no, no, thank you. I've had plenty. I especially like the 119th Psalm, verse 64. Mercy is love in action. It's remedy from the hand of God. It may come through you, through your prayers, into another's life. But you can go boldly before the throne, get your own mercy. So, Lord, I know you got great mercy to me. I know you have great mercy towards me. You know, if you step up there, you just come back and tell me, and God says, that's the stupidest thing you ever did. I can't believe you did that. I'm not helping you. Then he lied. He knows we're going to do stupid things. Scriptures, he knows our frame, we are but dust. I just take that scripture to him a lot. I said, now, Lord, here I am. Now, you know, this is dust, dirt made out of dirt. Just want him to know, a candidate. The earth, the what?
The earth.
The what?
The earth.
Is this earth?
Yes.
Don't want to be confused. The earth, O Lord, is what?
Full of your mercy.
not petitioning heaven to send mercy. He already sent it, and the earth is full of it. I'm not waiting on mercy like waiting on rain. Hope it rains, hope it rains. Notice the earth is what?
Full.
What's full?
The earth.
What's full?
The earth.
Is this earth?
Yes.
How full would it be?
Full.
Overflowing.
Shh. I felt prompted yesterday to remind you to quit working so hard to receive. Because the harder we work, the more we're dependent on our hours of meditation and our 1,002 confessions. And we get involved in the system. People say, can I get another prayer line? They want to do all the right works, eliminate all the wrong works. No, I just go boldly before the throne of grace. That you may obtain mercy, love in action, relief. You like that word? And say, Lord, I know your mercy towards me, and I know you're full of compassion. I know your mercy is from everlasting and everlasting. Your mercy endures forever. And you are the Father of mercy. Mercy is your idea to start with. And I need some. If anybody's ever prayed for you, it's because God had mercy on you.
Yes.
See, you've probably already received mercy. Mm-hmm. The fact that somebody prayed, they extended heaven's mercy. They picked up on your cry. They couldn't have picked up on your cry had God not sent your cry to them. I've had people in the past two or three times say, I saw your face the other day and I prayed. I knew exactly why they saw my face. I said, oh, that's his mercy. It's mercy. You've already received mercy. We'll go back and get some more. We thank you, Father, for your abundant mercy. Like the blind men of old, we cry out for that mercy, knowing when we ask, we receive. Just as they received, your compassionate hand fell upon them and their blind eyes were opened. We cry out for the mercy of the Lord. We do receive that mercy. Thank you that your mercy is new every morning, not in varying quantities or commodities. That you don't short out. That you are long-suffering and slow to anger, and that you're always ready, always ready, always ready to extend your hand to us, a hand of forgiveness, a hand of healing, that your hands are open toward us. Thank you.